The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and you.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Janet Entine.
Hi, John.
Good morning, Janet. Nice to see you again. Just before we get to our first guest, I always like to tell everybody what Project Independence is. And Project Independence is the Town of North Hempstead's initiative to help seniors age in place. Excuse me. And we do that in so many ways. The most important thing for anybody listening to remember is 311. You call the 311 number with any question, because we have partners all over Long Island, basically. But some of the really good things we do is transportation. We have transportation to doctor visits and for shopping. It's free for shopping a couple of days during the week. And since this began, we've had over 200,000 taxi rides. Just call 311. They'll hook you up. And, you know, they're very timely, picking you up and dropping you off. It's really a tremendous service. We have, during the course of the week, there has to be maybe 5 to 8 programs a day, whether it's Zumba and Tai Chi and yoga. There's mind games, there's lectures, there's World in Depth. There's so many various things you can go to. You know, I can spend a whole show on what goes on. But bottom line is, call 311 for any of those things. If you have a question and you feel like getting out on a given day, there's no reason for a senior in North Hempstead to be stuck at home if you don't want to be. And you'll meet people, too. You'll socialize, which is very, very important. I want to get to our first guest, because we're going to keep on this, the importance of activities, and that is Angie Avila.
Yes.
And hi. Angie is with the Alzheimer's Association. She's in charge of outreach and community education.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to cover today is healthy living for your brain and body. But I want Angie just to tell me how she got into it, because Angie was sitting in our green room. And all of a sudden I said, is that our guest? And Angie is a very young woman, a very attractive woman.
I was like, thank you.
You know, this is not what I was looking for, which is
right.
Sounds very sexist. But she says that happens to me all the time. How did you get involved?
So that definitely happens to me very frequently. People look at me and, like I said before, they think, are you here to help out your mom? Is this an internship? But no, it's me. I'm the one delivering the programs. So I actually really got involved in the mental health field as a result of being a caregiver myself, not in the respect of Alzheimer's, but autism.
Okay.
So my younger sister is diagnosed with autism. So at a very young age, around 10 to now, I've really been a caregiver. So my responsibilities growing up were different from all my friends. You know, they had to load the dishwasher, take out the garbage. I had to give my sister a shower and make sure that she wasn't eating all of the food in the fridge. So I really transitioned that caregiving skills that I've developed into this career now.
Wow.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
You weren't kidding. I'm sure at the time you were doing it, it was rough.
Exactly.
And probably somewhat resentful, but at the same time,
It was definitely difficult, you know, growing up, but it's your home, and when you're just so used to responsibilities in your home, you step out of that mindset, and it just becomes your norm. Like, I would go to my friends, oh, you don't give your sister a shower? So,
wow, that's
yeah,
tremendous.
It becomes your norm, yeah.
Okay, good for you.
That's wonderful.
And then
thank
how did
you.
This morph into the Alzheimer's Association?
You know what? I applied and I got the job.
Really? Good for
yeah.
you? Okay.
No, well, I did a lot of work with adult day programs for the mental health field. So people who have autism, Down syndrome, I was really involved in that field. And then I saw an opening with the Alzheimer's Association. I applied and they liked me, so they put me in.
Okay. Now we'll get into your outreach and community education.
Well, so what is it that I do?
Yeah. Yes. I understand what you do, but I want you to tell people.
So I work as the community outreach / educator for diverse populations, and that very long title basically means I go wherever I am needed.
Yeah, you do everything.
So I do on-foot outreach. So I go and I hang up flyers about all the education programs that we have going on, and I deliver them bilingually. So I do Spanish and English programs.
Okay.
I do general education programs. So that's the basics, know the 10 warning signs, healthy living. And then we also have a number of caregiver-oriented programs. So that's how we can really understand the disease and understand the empathy behind the disease and behind dementia-related behaviors. So we break certain behaviors down and we say this, a behavior is rather a reaction to a person's environment. and here are our tools, and this is what we should really do to engage the person so that everyone feels safe and secure.
Okay. I just caught on 10 warning signs.
Mm-hmm.
Can we start with that?
So the 10 warning signs, they're long. So I'll give you the gist and the basics of
right.
the 10 warning signs. So memory changes that disrupt daily life. So that is not if you don't remember where you parked your car, because I never remember where I parked my car. So memory changes that disrupt daily life. We all have that sense where we walk into the kitchen to grab something and we forget.
Right.
So we walk into the living room and then we remember. It's when the memory does not come back to us.
Okay.
So if you get into the kitchen and you're looking around and you don't remember that passage of time of walking to the kitchen, that's a memory disturbance that disrupts your daily life. So that's a warning sign. That's a red flag. Another one that I like to point out that really goes unnoticed is visual impairment. So spatial relationships and that type of disturbance. So that is a warning sign that goes unnoticed because it so strongly correlates with many other ailments that we get as we age. But we have to understand the science of the disease.
Okay.
So in order to understand that, the disease is destroying brain cells and brain neurons. So we're losing messages being sent throughout the rest of our body. So our vision and our perception is also being disrupted. So if your spatial...
I didn't know that either.
So if you go to pick up a pen and for some reason your perception is way off, that's a warning sign. But we don't look to it because we think Alzheimer's, memory impairment. So we forget to look at those other warning signs. So I really do like to point that out. Then we also have withdrawal from conversations. So withdrawal from conversations, that's when a person, they're losing their words. So when they're having a conversation, they're having a hard time keeping up because certain words that you're saying, they know that they should know what it means, but they don't. So they keep to themselves and they really isolate themselves. And that's more so because they can't keep up in conversation, but also there's such a negative stigma, unfortunately, associated with Alzheimer's that they don't want to alert their peers that something's going on, so they begin to withdraw within themselves, which leads to depression and change in personality.
Okay.
So we notice a lot of those changes.
Wow, it's amazing. Diet coming into this,
mm-hmm.
which I know... You know, I mean, it's a healthy choices are always beneficial to everybody.
Exactly. Yes.
But if you're prone, if there is such a thing, prone to Alzheimer's, you know, a more healthy diet is obviously more important.
Exactly. So whenever I deliver the healthy living program, I say if there's anything anyone takes away from today's program, it is the importance of taking care of your cardiovascular system. Our cardiovascular system is of utmost importance. Our heart and our brain and our blood, it is so interrelated. So we tell everyone to follow the DASH diet, which is the dietary approach to stop hypertension, which again is everything to help your cardiovascular system, and the Mediterranean diet.
Okay.
So diet, it's really just, it's fuel for the body. So it's fuel for our blood, and we need to take care of our blood. Our blood circulates throughout our whole entire body, 25% of every heartbeat. 25% of that oxygen goes directly to the brain. So we want to make sure that we're pumping healthy oxygen, healthy blood to the brain. And that all comes from the food that we ingest.
Unbelievable. Actually,
yes, it is. It is because you know what? Alzheimer's is a catchword. And
mm-hmm.
and I think even in 2018,
mm-hmm.
You see a stereotypical picture in front of you when you say Alzheimer's. And there's so much more involved. And you're really amazing. Giving us this information.
So I know we're not touching on this, but just to give a wider sense, a number one question that I get asked all the time is, what is the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's?
Okay.
And there is no difference between dementia and Alzheimer's. Dementia is just a word. It's a word that describes a cognitive loss in functioning. So Alzheimer's is the most common cause of dementia. It's the most common form of dementia. So dementia, think of it as if you're hearing the word cancer, and there are many different forms of cancer.
Okay.
They're not all the same. They happen in different parts of the body, and they're caused by different reasons. That's the same thing with different forms of dementia. Their causes are different, and where they necessarily begin in the brain is different, but they are all dementia. So Alzheimer's is just a form of dementia.
Interesting. Okay. I know that has come up, you know, like people wouldn't. Somebody will say dementia, and then it's Alzheimer's, and it's not.
You always see that question asked in the newspapers when they're talking about it.
Yes.
Do you know the difference?
Oh, okay.
Or if you watch a program on it,
or some people think that dementia is a precursor for Alzheimer's, that you get dementia first and then it leads into Alzheimer's, and that's not necessarily the case. Dementia is a cognitive decline in functioning.
So what kinds of programs do you offer? Is your job just educating, or do you offer programs also?
So I specifically do education, but the Alzheimer's Association, we offer a number of programs and services. We have support groups. We have a number of support groups in different categories. So a new one is our sandwich generation. So you have parents that have kids that are in school, and they're also taking care of their parents. So they're right in the middle. So they are a caregiver on two sides of the spectrum. So we have support groups for them. We have support groups for spouses. We have support groups for adult children, early onset, younger onset, middle stage. So we do have a number of support groups that really caters to a person's needs. And we also offer care consultations. There's a number of services that we
Where are you located, actually?
We have two locations. Okay. Our main office is in Melville, off of Broad Hollow Road, and then we have another office in Riverhead off of Main Street, and that's really to cater to the east end of the island.
Right, right. And actually, what's a good phone number to give out for the organization?
So I would give out our 1-800 helpline number.
Okay.
That's our best tool. So that's 1-800-272-3900. So if you are looking for anything that is dementia-related, so if it's a doctor's office, a diagnostic center, elder law attorneys, adult day programs, I would recommend calling the 1-800 number, because then they'll provide you with the list. So I always say we're nonprofit, so that means we're non-biased. So we'll provide you with the list. But then, you know, as a person, I say it's really up to you to do your own research and find out what is your best fit.
I just find this is a field that's lacking so much expertise. I have a friend who's going through dementia, and watching her over this last year is nothing but heartbreaking. But in talking to her husband, he thinks that he's researching on the internet things that she could do, but nothing kind of suits him. So it really keeps reoccurring to me that there needs to be more and more education about what's available.
I totally agree. There needs to be so much more education on what the disease is. You know, we find too many people settling for a misdiagnosis.
Right.
You know, just last month I had someone come to my program where there is no diagnosis with his wife, but his wife is on all the medications, which really upset him when I was talking about the medications. And he brought up that that his doctor won't provide him with a diagnosis. And every single time he asks, the doctor says, I don't like to put a label on things. And, you know, the education is really to be an advocate for yourself, because if a doctor diagnoses you with cancer, you don't just say, okay, well, thanks, and then you walk
right,
out of the
exactly.
room. You say, all right, what kind of cancer?
Right.
You know, and I really think there needs to be more education so that people can solidify what form of dementia do I have.
Okay. Actually, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take an early break, because I have a question which is going to be in depth in reference to the stages of Alzheimer's.
Okay.
And it just came when you were talking about your friend, actually, Janet. So you're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.